Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Brian London, editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference, again happening in October, and I will post a link below this interview for all of you. If you're in the area or want to go to New Orleans, check out that conference. Shad and I are planning on being there this year, which I'm very excited about again. Now, hopefully the markets will be in a little bit better shape, especially the resource markets, but just broadly, these markets continue to weigh on a lot of selling pressure. Brian, starting off with the precious metals, as we always do, you can say that gold is holding up quite nicely. It's sold off just a little bit today from some of its highs, but as we're recording this on the futures market, gold sitting right around $1,835. Which, again, is, I believe, pretty much flat to marginally up on the year. Not many asset classes can say that they are flat on the year. Problem is, that's just not exciting, right, Brian? And that's not necessarily bringing in more investors, although some investors should be taking note that gold is holding up. But in terms of how investors would view something like gold that is flat this year, what's your takeaway? How are people viewing this flat market for gold?
Yeah, you know, people don't get excited about statements like it could be worse. And I've been talking at a number of conferences and panels and things over the last few weeks, and that's kind of been my message, and nobody's really happy to hear that. They feel, and I agree, that gold should be a couple of hundred dollars higher than it is right now, with inflation where it is and everything else. There are a couple of excuses, valid or not. Certainly, you know, nothing that's going to make us feel much better. But gold was kind of victimized by the Ukraine situation. Had that false breakout on a geopolitical issue, which we all knew if you experienced in the sector, you knew that was going to come back, and it did. And the Fed's ultra extreme hawkishness was something that I think really took the market by surprise. And the algos, you know, immediately hit gold on the basis of that. One thing that I have been encouraged with, though, is that we've seen a number of liquidity event type sell-offs in the U.S. stock market since early spring. Probably 6, 7, or 8 instances where the Dow, for example, dropped 700 to over 1,000 points. And these were liquidity events where speculative investors who are operating on margin had to raise money and had to sell everything. And of course, gold is a piggy bank that can be broken into in these instances. But one thing I've noticed is that as these liquidity events have occurred, gold got hit successively less and less. And in fact, in a couple of instances last week, for example, gold actually rose strongly, you know, during these liquidity events, and was the only thing rising during these events. So I think smart money in the background is looking at it rightly as a real value, considering the inflation rates that we're seeing and considering the fact that the Fed is going to have to reverse course sometime over the next few months, I believe.
Yeah, and when we do see the Fed reverse course, usually gold, some of those safer assets do move first and strongest, at least initially. I think the one big problem with the gold market, though, is that a lot of people filter down into the gold stocks. Some stick to the big stocks, a lot filter even further down into some of the juniors. Quite frankly, these stocks continue to break down, and even today, where GDXJ, opened up pretty much flat and traded flat for the first maybe half hour to hour, they have really sold off right now. GDX is below 29. GDXJ is closing in on breaking below 34. That 29 level or 28 and change is pretty key, I think, for GDX, as that is the lowest it's traded, 28.33 back in September of last year. After that, then you could say we've broken down out of a over 2 year or almost 2 year pattern here. What are you seeing in these gold stocks? Why can't they get any support here, Brian?
Well, if you look at GDX and GDXJ, and remember that there's very little difference between the two, the GDXJ supposed juniors are nothing like the juniors that we think of in the exploration and development realm. These are all essentially producers. And with oil prices well over $100 a barrel, you're seeing margin compression come in a big way for producers to, you know, the diesel to power those big yellow trucks is inordinately expensive right now, and especially diesel. Diesel is currently priced at would be equivalent of a much higher cost per barrel for oil in general. So that's what's happening there. I think you're going to see in this upcoming quarter, the AISCs, the cost of production for the big miners, is going to have risen really precipitously. And that's something that not that many analysts or can really get a hold of, but are really fearful for how high it might be. So that's an upcoming potential shock to the producers. We last saw that, by the way, in 2011, or that 2010, 2011. And that instance was really the first time we had ever seen it in the history, you know, of gold and mining. So it's a fairly new phenomenon, but it is a real one. That, I think, is having an effect. And generally speaking, there are a lot of ways to get torque in your trading that aren't necessarily in gold or gold-related stocks. They can get that kind of performance that one would expect from a discovery play in the mining sector. They can get that by just leveraging up in some more, you know, tech stocks and the like.
Yeah, for GDXJ, it's probably good that it's not in a bunch of the juniors, because those juniors, they're down, you know, even more. Some have completely fallen out of bed and are now trading for pretty much cash in the bank. Also, looking back, GDXJ and GDX right now are kind of below pre-pandemic levels. Really flies in the face of that whole narrative of, if inflation is here and picking up and sticking around, shouldn't gold and the underlying stocks do well? You bring up a good point that their margins are getting compressed. Also, though, the markets, the broad averages, are in a bear market, and it looks like this bear market's going to continue. So is that kind of the overlying theme here? Is the problem is that this is just a broad bear market?
Yeah, you know, when everybody's going to cash and accepting a guaranteed 8%+ negative return as the best relative performance in the market, you know, everything else is pretty much sucking wind, right? And again, gold relatively is doing really well, but it should be doing much better. We are being victimized by the paper gold and paper silver markets in the U.S., in New York trading, which sets the world price, at least initially, for the metals. And I do believe there's a lot more buying, physical buying, in the background by big funds and the like, but they're just picking their spots and they know they can get it on sale.
Brian, what about inflation expectations? Because we are seeing a lot of different economic indicators, and even something like copper. Copper continues to break down as well. It just broke $4 yesterday and is continuing to move down today. Are you seeing inflation expectations also come down?
Yeah, they have. The inflation expectations, as derived from tips yields, are down significantly today. And I think that reflects a couple of things. First off, it reflects the fact that it's a manipulated market to begin with, because the Fed buys 25% of all the tips that are off on offer. It also reflects Wall Street's view, and it's looking forward, you know, 3 to 5 years. So there is, and I think it's a valid point, that inflation will moderate. I don't think it's going to moderate to the 3% range where the current expectations are. I think we're almost at a permanent new level of 4 to 6% on inflation going forward for the next few years. It's just that much baked into the cake. And we haven't really seen rents have a big impact. We haven't really seen wages have a big impact yet. And that's still to come. The Wall Street's view of inflation is not the real and, I think, proper view of inflation. If we were measuring real interest rates right now the same way they were measured in the 1970s, when everybody was panicking about inflation, real interest rates now match or exceed the negative levels that there were in the 1970s. So it really is like the 1970s, but with a couple of catches. One is that in the 1970s, the federal debt was 30% of GDP. Today, it's 130% of GDP. So unlike the 1970s, you cannot raise rates very much at all to fight off inflation. So again, my view has been that the Fed is hamstrung and essentially powerless to fight inflation because they cannot raise rates above the rate of inflation like Volcker did. And because of that, they're going to have to back off really very soon. I don't think they can get more than a couple of months more, maybe 3 months more down this road of rate hikes before they're going to have to retreat.
Do you think they retreat after something is broken in the market, after we get kind of a flash crash in that sense, or do you think they retreat before that?
It's either going to be that, and the timing of that is impossible to predict, or it's going to be when they run up against that the brick wall of debt service costs. If they get, and I think I'm the only one that's ever bothered to calculate the real effective interest rate on the federal debt. But from my work, my calculations, if the Fed funds rate gets to 2%, then after some months of adjustment, the actual effective interest rate on the federal debt will get to at least 4%. And that means we'll be paying $1 trillion a year just to service the federal debt. And I think that's a political brick wall in the way of the Fed really doing the kind of tightening that they would need to do to have a big impact on inflation.
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting to see just where the Fed gets to in terms of the Fed funds rate, because right now market is expecting little over 3% by 2023. But then looking like it should come back a little bit. Who knows if they even get to 3% or above 3%. But it seems like we are going to get at least one more, probably a couple more rate hikes. And that seemingly will just continue to pull down markets. Brian, what are you doing with your portfolio then? Clearly, this isn't a good time to be heavily invested. That being said, there could be a good buying opportunity for a lot of these stocks, precious metal stocks that have been washed out, especially considering how gold has remained fairly flat. What are you doing in your portfolio?
Yeah, you know, it's generally a bottom and it's generally a good time to be buying. I cannot put a real fine point of it and say this is the bottom, but it just kind of feels like it. So I'm not telling my readers to jump in head first or anything. I am coming up with a couple of new recommendations here and there that are really at irresistible levels, but it's not the kind of, you know, crazed hair and fire buying opportunity either. It's just kind of accumulated these levels. And one thing I'm seeing is that the financings are coming through, or some financings I'm seeing are above the market and only with, say, a half warrant offered up. And in some cases, they're still able to raise money at those levels. But I'm looking at some of these financings and saying, I like the company. I don't like the price of that financing, and I'll just buy it in the market instead. And that's an interesting situation. I think some management teams are recognizing that these prices are so low that they aren't really justified, and they're simply refusing to price their financings at those levels.
We have seen a general decrease in financing activity, though, right? And having cash for these companies is critical, at least in my eyes. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's starting to get pretty tight out there. And it's going to get tighter, obviously, because we have a lot of summer exploration programs that are funded now. So I think the fall is going to be a real heavy financing season. We'll just have to see if the markets are going to support that. I think the markets are going to be better. The metals prices, the stock prices are going to be better in the fall. But there's going to be a lot of monies that are going to, a lot of companies that are going to be trying to raise money in the fall as well.
Yeah, it seems like that. A lot of companies right now are just holding back on news. And unless they have funds committed, they're not going to the market aggressively, because that has been, unfortunately, another sell event for a lot of these stocks. Brian, thank you, as always, for your time, man. Always interesting to hear what you're seeing in the markets. And, hey, hopefully these markets improve, but it seems like it could be a pretty long, drawn-out, slow summer. Thanks again for your time, Brian. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, Corey. Take care.